scripture lesson today is from 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. And that also is printed for you there, just below the order of service. This is God's holy word. This is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous, so that He will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Thus far, God's holy, inspired, and infallible word. Pray with me again. Thank you, Father, for your holy word. We ask now that you will bless it to our understanding. We pray, Lord, that we might see ourselves as you see us, that we might come to the light. We pray, Lord, that you would indeed shine forth today in this hour, in this study. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, last time we just kind of got our feet wet in the letter of 1 John. And move now a little further into the Apostle John's epistle. We have set before us the great objective for those who wish to be right with God. John, as the leading pastor of the churches of Western Asia Minor, that is the Ephesus region, was regularly faced with the challenge, heresy, also that of misunderstanding and jealousy. It wasn't a perfect church by any means. And John, in writing this letter, is trying to deal with some of these issues that come up. Here in chapter 1, having stressed God's entrance into human life through the incarnation, he returns to the basics of the Christian faith, citing the need to turn from sin and walk closely with the Lord through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'd like to have us think together this morning about what is our goal, namely fellowship with God. Secondly, the announcement. Interestingly, where it says this is the message that we have heard from Him and announced to you, it's the same root word, and I think probably it would be a little more helpful to say this is the announcement that we have heard from Him and announce to you. Anyway, we'll look at that announcement, which is simply God is light. Then thirdly, the requirements in order that we might walk in the light as He is in the light. And we find that that's a problem, but there's a solution to that problem. And the solution to our walking in the light is none other than Jesus. And finally, there is an obstacle even to that point, and that obstacle resides in us. It's in ourselves. So those are our main points this morning. So let's begin with the goal, fellowship with God. Now let us say that John's remarks presuppose the acceptance of the Word of God as the rule of faith and practice. In other words, if you have no background whatsoever in the Scriptures, in the Hebrew Bible, or in the New Testament insofar as it had been received at this time, and certainly for us the whole New Testament, then John is not going to make much sense. You need to understand and accept that the Scriptures are the Word of God. If you have that, then you can move forward into this goal of fellowship with God. Now, what does fellowship mean exactly? Fellowship means interactive relationship. If you have fellowship, then you're together in some relationship that enables you to act the one toward the other, to communicate, to work together, these things. Doing things together that are fulfilling. I think that's a nice brief definition of fellowship. Doing things together that are fulfilling. Fellowship is personal. Allowing one to express himself or herself. It's that personal. It's fine to be in a group, but if you're kind of lost in the group, you're not really having fellowship. But if you have a way to express the inner things that you have on your heart, and if you are looking for ways to express yourself and you find them in the relationship, then that means it is personal. Then fellowship is moral. That is to say, it's honest. It's without hypocrisy. It's without deception. It's without any lying and putting on false fronts. And there are a lot of people in religious groups. I'm speaking mainly of Christian groups, but it could be any religious group, where people are just there to give the impression that they are spiritual in some fashion. But they don't really believe the things that are taught, and they don't really intend to follow the things that are set forth. It's just a show. So fellowship is moral in that it is honest. And then fellowship is existential. Now, there's a word, existential. What do we mean? Well, it means it has to do with your very existence. So that you come to the place as you participate in His fellowship where you say, I can't imagine living any other way than this. This is what I was created for. This is my reason to exist. So keep that in mind. Whenever you hear that word fellowship, it just gets tossed around. It can mean a lot of things. But it's personal. You can express yourself. It's honest. There's no deception. And it's existential. This is really where you say, I was made for this. This is what my existence means. Now, we're talking about fellowship with God. So all of these things apply in a relationship with God. Fellowship with God is a shared experience in which God and I share something, but we don't exclude others either. Because the way God created fellowship, we can't exclude anybody from it. The fellowship with God involves lots of people. So many that it's difficult for the human mind even to try to count it. Fellowship is a shared experience. You can say, God and I have fellowship together, but that only touches a bit of it. It's when we who know the Lord share this experience together. That's real fellowship. Personal, moral, and existential. If you're really seeking fellowship with God, then you're on the right track. But if you're not seeking fellowship with God, what are you seeking? What's it for? What's it all about? You maybe should question your faith if you're not seeking fellowship with God. So many evangelists preach, you know, come forward, be saved. But are you coming because you want fellowship with God, or because you hurt, you want some treatment for that hurt, or you want to feel better about yourself, you're trying to lose the guilt that rests upon you? Real evangelism is when someone says, are you seeking fellowship with God? Then I have something to tell you. I have something to offer you from the Scriptures. So that's our first point. That the goal of those who take seriously the Bible, who believe that the God of the Bible is the one and true living God, the goal is to have fellowship in the way that I described it. Fellowship with Him. Secondly, there is the announcement. Again, just put in my version of this first verse here. This is the announcement that we have heard from Him and announced to you. And it's just these three simple words, God is light. Now, Scripture uses the term light in several ways. Light means that God is present. Hello, come in.
I'm so very sorry.
Oh, you're welcome. Early or late? We're talking about light, and light means that God is present. Now, the best example I can give you is when Jesus was transfigured on the mountain, and when they beheld Him, the person of the Lord was so bright, brighter than any words they could find to express it. We might think of it even brighter by some of the things that we know today. They said brighter than any launderer could launder clothes, brighter than any. It was bright, and that suggested that God was present. So whenever there's light of this kind, then God is there. God is present. And for us then, if it says God is light, then God is present with us in that we're aware, not so much physically, not so much seeing with our eyes, that could happen as we've pointed out, but mainly that there's just so much of the presence of God that it brightens everything, brightens our lives and the world around. Now, in this passage especially, there's two other things that light would represent. One is righteousness. Light refers to that which is pure, untainted. If you walk in the light, you walk in righteousness. God is righteousness. Everything about His person is perfect. And then light relates to truth and understanding. There was an assembly many years ago called the Westminster Assembly, and one of the prayers that went up, Lord, more light, more light. What did He mean? He meant more understanding, more insight, more truth. Lord, give us more truth. So again, these three things especially, you can take it from some other angles, but it refers to the presence of God and to righteousness and to truth. Now, a verse that we all know, we've heard it 1,000 times, maybe tens of thousands of times in our lives. God is love, okay? And a lot of the TV shows and things where they show a church meeting of some kind, there's a big sign up, God is love. Well, that's true, God is love, but God is light. This same book of 1 John is the book that we get the verse God is love from, but it's also the book that we get God is light from. And God is as much light, in the ways that I've described it for you, as He is love. God is not hidden. We are blind sometimes, but God is not hidden. God is not unrighteous, but pure and perfect. God is not untruthful, but very truth itself. So if you want fellowship with God, then somehow you have to deal with these matters of the presence of God and the perfections of God and the truth of God. Otherwise, you'll never have fellowship. You can't skirt around those. You can't say, I'll get around to them later. Let's just have fellowship. There is no fellowship without God is light. And if you're a sincere seeker after God, if you want fellowship with God, then you must find a way into the light. You must find your place in the light and not be taken away from it, banned from it, not allowed to have it, which causes us then to ask, well, why don't we immediately have that entrance and that place in the light? Well, there are certain requirements that have to be met for you to have a place in the light. First of all, in the light there's no darkness at all. And that's in verse 5. And if you jump on to verse 7, it says that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So all the sin has to be gone. Otherwise, you have the opposite of light. You have darkness. There must be no darkness at all. You must be cleansed from all sin. Then secondly, you have to have His Word in you. It's verse 10. We don't have His Word in us if we say we have no sin. But to have His Word in you means that you are dealing constantly with the truth, and that the truth that you're seeking is that you are somehow freed from your sins, delivered from your sins. So that you come to the place, as in verses 8 and 9, where you must confess your sins. If we say we have no sins, we're deceiving ourselves. So in other words, you're not going to enter into the light if you say, I have no sin. And you're not going to enter into the light unless you confess your sins. Lord, I am a sinner. Lord, I have no place in the light the way I am. I confess that I am a sinner. But I want the cleansing that allows me that place. So that's verses 7 and 9. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. End of verse 9. Cleanses us, cleanse us from all sin. He will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How are you going to enter into fellowship with God? You have to get into the light. How are you going to get into the light? By somehow ending up with no darkness at all, no sin at all, that His Word is how you live your life, it's in you. You practice the truth, as in verse 6. It says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and then walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. You practice the truth in the light, not partially, not sometimes, but you practice the truth. And you fulfill the five ifs. Starting with verse 6, you have five conditional clauses there. If we say we have fellowship, but if we walk in the light, if we say that we have no sin, if we confess our sins, if we say, if, all those five ifs have to be straightened out so that there's no negativity to it. There's no darkness connected with it. It all matches up with what God says has to happen. And those five ifs are kind of a good test for us all the time to go back to and make sure that we do match up with them. But these are the requirements that in essence amount to turning away from sin. Which brings us then to our fourth point, and that is, what's the solution? Because if we don't lie to ourselves and we don't lie to God, then we must be willing to say, I can't save myself. I can't get out of this. I can't turn over a new leaf. What am I going to do? And the solution is Jesus. How can I have no sin? How can I have complete acceptance with God? How can I fit into His light and not bring any shadow at all into it? Well, I have to have a Savior. So don't deny your sinfulness. Don't deny your need of a Savior. Now, who is the Savior? The Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. What does He do? He takes away all sin. Now, this is positional. Of course, you know that you're not perfect now. There's a wonderful promise that you will be perfect someday in heaven. But right now, you need to be in a position where there's no darkness associated with you, and that only is true if you're in Christ. If you're positioned in Him, if you have faith in Him. So don't deny your sinfulness or your need for a Savior. Secondly, search the Scriptures for direction. Direction to a Savior. Direction to the life that God has promised. The Bible is that book that gives you direction. And when you search the Scriptures, they lead to one place, they lead to one person, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we're told, first of all, these are Jesus' words, that if you search the Scriptures, they are they, He said, that testify about Me. Well, what is it? Just one verse here and one verse there? No, it's the whole of the Scriptures point to the Messiah, point to the Savior, saying, if you want to live in the light, if you want fellowship with God, then you need a Savior who can get you there. You can't get there on your own. You can't climb into heaven by your own means. You can't remove all the shadow and stain and remove all those things that keep you from the light. You need someone who can do it for you. And that is why Jesus came into the world, to save sinners. So in verse 7 we read, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Now wait a minute, where does this blood business come from? Well, it means that on the cross of Calvary, God laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He paid for our sins. That's why God can say, your sins are gone. Nothing prevents you from entering the light, from walking in the light. But you'll never do it unless you trust in the blood of Jesus. Unless you say, yes, I believe that Scripture does lead to Jesus. Yes, I believe Jesus is my Savior. Yes, I'm going to trust that. I'm going to enter the light because God says if you come by way of Jesus, you can enter. There is a way that seems right to men, but that way is the way of death. That's from the book of Proverbs. But the New Testament says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. No one comes to the light without Him. Trust the blood of Jesus. Then accept God's forgiveness. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just. That is, He keeps His word and He doesn't violate His own righteousness. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We call that justification. So that you accept God's forgiveness, and as a forgiven sinner, you can walk in the light. You can have fellowship with God. And then as you walk in the light, you grow more and more to be like Jesus. That's what we call sanctification. You become more and more holy. You don't get there yet, but you will get there when the Lord finally makes everything perfect, including you and me. So that's the solution. That's the solution. You have these requirements. Virtually impossible for us to keep on our own. But in Jesus, everything can be and will be made the way it should be, provided we're trusting in Him. And so why don't we come? Why doesn't everybody come? Because there's this obstacle. The obstacle is ourselves. Well, let's break it down just a little bit here. The obstacle having to do with ourselves has to do also with what we say. If we say that we have no sins, if we say that we are not in need of the salvation of God, that's an obstacle. And most everybody wants to say, I'm a pretty good fellow, pretty good gal. There's no big problem with me. If we say that, that's a big obstacle. So you say, no, I have sins. Also, what we do. If we practice sin, if we do not practice truth, that's an obstacle. Many people say, I'm very religious. I do all kinds of religious things. What you do won't save you. What Jesus did will save you. Another obstacle is how well we're experts at deceiving ourselves. If we say we have no sin, what? We deceive ourselves. And we're very good at that. Very good, as I say. Experts. If we turn away from Jesus, if we say, oh, I don't need Him, I just need to be more religious, more moral, more a righteous, upright person as best I can be, that won't get you there. But a lot of people say that. An obstacle is that we make God a liar. God says, all that stuff that you put out, it's not true. But we say, oh, yes, it is true. And we go back and forth with God. Oh, it is true. No, it's not. Yes, it is. It's true. Don't make God a liar. That's a big obstacle. Say, Lord, I'm wrong, and you're right. I'm the liar. You're the truth. And then we lack urgency about our lost condition. We say, well, okay, even if what you say is right, I'm not quite there yet. I have a few other things I want to attend to. And I'll get around to it one of these days. God says you need a sense of urgency about it. That's an obstacle to your coming into the light, living in the light. As long as you put it off, as long as there's no sense of urgency, as long as you say, I want fellowship with God, and I'm going to pursue that with all my heart and soul. Well, that's the way you should go, but if you say, no, I don't have time for that right now. It's a big obstacle and a very likely possibility you'll never get into the light. And again, we deceive ourselves. Sometimes we think, I'm in the light. I'm happy. I have my job. I have my family. God says you need to understand that you're a sinner. You're not in the light until you get there through the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus says, whoever comes to me, I'll not cast them out. I'll be that means by which they can have fellowship with God. Excuse me, may the Lord help us to really seek that relationship with Him. We do want that for ourselves, but we want it for all. And then all of us together who have that knowledge, that situation, who live in the light, that is real fellowship, as we said earlier. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word today. Some of it's not easy to swallow. Some of it we don't want to hear. Some of it seems not the way that the rest of the people think. But Lord, your word says it. Your word sets it forth. God is light, and Him is no darkness at all. If we say we walk in the light, but we don't, and the truth is not in us, we have no hope. But if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Grant us, Lord, to be that kind of person. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.